Praise the Lord. In a series of our Tuesday teachings now, we will be looking at what actually is happening in the crusade that our leader is holding with us during this period. As you all well know, our ministry is going through a time of fasting and prayer, and one of the main goals of the fasting season is to pray that we will believe the goal of phase 3 of our ministry, and we will be able to labor to ensure that the goal is accomplished. The weight of believing that the Lord has called us to ensure that we have 1 million house churches led by makers of disciples who are obeying the better message and who are equally laboring to ensure that those they are leading are obeying the better message. So during this period, the main word is on discipleship, the making of disciples. And if you have been following the crusade, there's the weight of praying, cry out to God for miracles of transformation. And I strongly believe that this miracle of transformation is to produce people who are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Miracle of transforming us in order that we may resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the miracle of multiplication, so that which has been transformed can be multiplied, so that you start with few, transform, then you multiply the few, and after a time, we will be able to have these house churches of 1 million house churches of between 50 to 100 members, which we are actually talking about 1 million house churches that will give us about 50 to 100 million believers. And during the crusade, Brother Theodore has been handling a series of teaching on the making of disciples. And in our series of teaching, during our Tuesday sharing, I just want to be summarizing some of the things that have been touching me and some of the things that Brother Theodore has been sharing, so that some of the brethren who have not been following the crusade, or who have been following the crusade but may still benefit from what we are sharing, may actually gain something during this period. In order to help us to catch up with where we are, I will be joining a number of the teachings together. So join with us today as we look at the introductory aspect of what phase 3 of our ministry is, on the making of disciples. Brother Theodore made it clear that for phase 3 of our work, the key word is discipleship to Jesus. That we want to make sure that everyone in the community becomes a disciple of Christ and makes disciples for Christ. I will say it again, that the key word for phase 3 of our ministry is discipleship to Christ. Making sure that everyone in our community becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ and makes disciple for Christ. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ and make disciple for Christ. We did not set out to have disciples. We set out to make disciples. So it is not setting out to own people that you call your disciples. It is actually setting out to produce people in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We set out to make disciples for Christ. We did not set out to own people, call our disciples. So the goal is not to have somebody you call your disciple. The goal is to be yourself a disciple of Christ and to make disciples for Christ. not setting out to own people who turn around you that you call them your disciples, but setting out to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You yourself have become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you equally set out to ensure that you help others to become disciples of Christ, because you cannot help anyone to become what you are not. So it is disciples of Christ who can make disciples for Christ. That was one of the things that was being emphasized right from the beginning. We're setting out to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and equally setting out to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Becoming disciples of the Lord Jesus and making disciples for the Lord Jesus. What is discipleship for the Lord Jesus? If we want to understand what discipleship to Jesus involves, we need to start by looking at the Master himself. These are some of the things that our leader, Brother Theodore, has been bringing out in order that we may understand what discipleship for the Lord Jesus Christ actually men, we need to look at Jesus, the master, the supreme disciple, the supreme maker of disciple. For the Lord Jesus, discipleship for him was living a life that reveals the Father. So discipleship for the Lord Jesus Christ was living a certain type of life that reveals the Father to others. It was living a life that reveals the Heavenly Father in such a way that people can know the Father and enter into a relationship with him. I'll say it again because it is very, very important that discipleship for the Lord Jesus and discipleship for us and the making of disciples for us is actually supposed to be living a certain type of life. That because of the type of life that we are living, people may look at our lives and as a result of that, they will have a revelation of the Father and enter into a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. So there is a life that reveals God the Father in such a way that others can know God and enter into a loving relationship with him. A life that reveals God the Father so that others can know this God the Father and enter into that relationship with him. In other words, we are living a certain type of life. And that life, type of life will be admired by others. And that type of life will help other people to enter into a loving relationship with the Heavenly Father. So, discipleship is a life. It is not a program. Discipleship is a life. It is not a program. So the making of disciples is the molding of life. It is the molding of a life. It is not a program. So it is a life lived that can reveal the Father to people and help them to enter into a living relationship with the Father. It is a life. It is not a program. It is the molding of life. It is the molding of life, not a program. It is not meeting with some people you call your disciples. It's not even a name. It is not a miniature church that is described as a disciple meeting. So discipleship is the molding of life. In other words, I am transformed, and by the grace of God, the life that I am living, I am equally to help others to be transformed so that the Father, they can enter into a personal relationship with the Father, because I live a type of life that could be admired, other people could desire. So it is a molding of a life. For the Lord Jesus, his discipleship as the Son of God and the Son of Man was living a life that reveals God in such a way that others can know him. Living a life that reveals God in such a way that others can know him and enter into a relationship with God as he himself is in relationship with God. Living a life that can make others to equally know God and then enter into the type of relationship that you yourself you have entered into with God. So there is someone who is living a certain type of life that can help others to come to know God because of the type of life you are living. And as a result of that type of life you are living, they themselves can enter into a personal relationship with God. So, the Lord Jesus lived a certain type of life that could even attract others, that could show the Father to others. So to understand discipleship, we must start with the Master. How did he live it out? How did he do it? How did he live out his discipleship? For Jesus, what was involved? It involved living a life that reveals who God is in such a way that others can enter into relationship with God the way he has a relationship with God. So we are saying that clearly, as Brother Theodore brought out, for the Lord Jesus, what was involved is living a life that reveals God in such a way that others can enter into a relationship with God the way he has a relationship with God. So for each of us, discipleship is living a life that can equally help others to have a relationship with God. So if my life is already that which makes others not to even want my God, then I am not a disciple, and I cannot make disciple for Christ. So there is a life. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6 to 11. John chapter 14, verse 6 to 11. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? The words and the works. He said, the words I speak. He says, the words I speak, they are not just mine. The words I speak and the works I do is the Father living in me. So the Father living in me expresses himself outwardly by the words coming out of my mouth and by the works that I am doing, so that whoever sees me has seen the Father. So when they ask, show us the Father and that will be enough. Jesus made it clear. It is the word I am speaking and the works I am doing. So the indwelling Father expressing himself outwardly by words and works that will never contradict his nature. The nature of the Father expressed through his words, expressed through the work, the Father living in me. So anyone who met the disciples of Jesus could actually say, these ones have been with Jesus. So Jesus could say, if you have met me, you have met the Father. If you have met me, you have met the Father. It could also be said of the disciple, if you have met them, you have met Jesus. Because in looking at their life, you will see the expression of the indwelling Jesus. So the indwelling Jesus will express himself outwardly in the life of the disciple by the words and by the works. So after a time, people could say of the disciple of Jesus, these ones have been with Jesus. In Antioch, instead of saying they are disciples, they simply say they are Christians. In other words, these are Christ-like. These are the Christ kind. So those who had been with Jesus encountered him, and after a time, other people could look at them and say, this one resembles Jesus. That is a disciple to Jesus. He is their mouth. They live a different kind of life. The Christ kind of life. So somebody who has been transformed into a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is living the Christ kind of life. Discipleship to Jesus is living the Christ kind of life. So that just as Jesus could say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, it can also be said of us, if you have seen me, you have seen Jesus. True discipleship will produce a person that somebody listening to him and looking at his life, the words are not his word. The works are not his works, because someone living in me, Christ living in me, Christ living in me. That's why Paul, after a time, could be able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man. Christ living in me. You could also say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ, the indwelling Christ in me, will express himself outwardly by the Christ kind of life, by the character of Christ, by the nature of Christ, by the love of Christ, by the gentleness of Christ, by the truth of Christ, by the purity of Christ. So discipleship for the Lord Jesus as Son of God and as Son of Man was living a life that reveals God in such a way that others can know God and enter into a relationship with Him. It is that life through His Word and through the power of His Word by which men come to the Father. So by living a certain type of life, by living a certain type of life, others could come and know the Father through him. By living a certain kind of life, others will come and be able to know Christ through us. The indwelling Christ in us, expressing himself outwardly through the words that come out of our mouth and through the works that we are doing and through the nature that resembles Christ, begin to say, this one is a disciple of the Lord Jesus. So discipleship to Christ is living a type of life that will reveal the Father, will reveal Christ to others. Jesus in praying in John chapter 17, verse 6 to 8, he said, I have revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. In verse 25-26, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So for the Lord Jesus, discipleship involve living a life that reveals the Father in such a way that others can know the Father and enter into a relationship with the Father. So we said from the beginning that to be able to know what this discipleship is all about, we need to look at the example of the Master. We look at the example in order to learn. And therefore, for us, discipleship is equally living a type of life. Living a type of life that will help others to be able to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So that if our life, the way of life, our own lives, by our word and by our works, people are being driven away from Jesus, then it means that we actually do not qualify to make disciples because we are not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus live a type of life that others may equally be able to have and enter into a living relationship with the Father, enter into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that those who come and see us, they are able to say, we have been with Jesus. And it is not our mouth testifying it. It is our lives. As they see our lives, they are able to declare that we are Christian. We are Christ-like. We resemble Christ. We resemble Christ. So discipleship to Jesus is actually living this type of life. There is a type of life we have embraced. We are living that type of life. And there is a type of life we can give out to others so that they begin to live that kind of life as well. Discipleship to Jesus, producing a group of people that actually resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. So the making of disciples is not a program of the church. It's not a particularity of Christian Missionary Fellowship International. It is God's eternal purpose. God planned the making of disciples. God planned how it is to be done. So it is not that this ministry is a ministry of those who make disciples. This ministry is not a ministry of those who make disciples. God ordained it that those who come to Jesus should resemble Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 30. Because discipleship to Jesus is conformity to Christ. We saw that in the city of Antioch, as a result of the fact that some have encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, after a time, people began to call them Christian because they were like Christ. They resembled Christ. And it is this resemblance of Christ, this living this type of life that will attract others. And they, as a result of the type of life that we are living, they themselves can enter into that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So discipleship to Christ is conformity to Christ. Putting on the likeness of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 30. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the likeness of Christ, of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Those God foreknew, he predestined to conform to the likeness of Christ. So God has a program for all believers, all who believe, and everything enters into it. God has a program for everyone who has believed, and everything in his life, everything in your life will enter into that program. And what is God's program? What is that program on God's heart? It is the conformity of every son to the only begotten Son. God wants that every child of God, whoever has come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be look like Christ, should conform to the likeness of Christ. So there's a conformity to Christ. And God's program is to put everything in your life in order to ensure that you become like Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the master. He is the master. He is the prototype. And every other son is a copy. And must be a copy. That is God's program. God wants that every one of us should look like Christ. Discipleship to Christ is resembling Christ. So the making of disciple is God's eternal purpose. The conformity of all the children of God to the only begotten Son of God. The conformity of you and me to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we all resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. We all look like the Lord Jesus Christ. We all become like Christ, so that the world, in looking at us, can say we have been with Christ. We look like Christ. We resemble Christ. We are Christ kind. We live the Christ kind of life. We talk like Christ. We behave like Christ. Our character is like Christ. That is conformity to the image of Christ. He is the master copy, and we are the photocopy of Christ. So God's eternal purpose, that every one of us called by his name should look like Christ. So discipleship to Christ is this conformity, this resemblance, this putting on of the likeness of Christ. And what is the process that God uses? The Bible says, does he call, he justified. Does he justify, he glorified. So there's a continuous transformation. There's a continuous work that is going on. So God has a program for every child of his. And that program is that every child of his will conform to the likeness of Christ. And the process is continuous transformation. And everything will go into it. That's what the Bible says. All things worketh for good. God will, all things, the difficult things, the good things of your life are all geared towards ensuring that you will resemble Christ. Everything will go into that program. Your background, whatever you have gone through, whatever you are going through, for it to be said, everything work together for good, it is moving in one direction in order to shape the man that you ought to be, so that you resemble Christ. So God has a program for every child of his. And there is the process, is a continuous transformation, and everything in your life will enter into that continuous transformation with the goal of helping you to conform to the image, the likeness of Christ, to make you to look like Christ. But God has a way of doing it. And everyone who wants to be a co-worker to go with God must know the way God works. So there's the program of God. There is what God is targeting. Conformity to Christ. Becoming like Christ. Looking like Christ. Resembling Christ. But there is how God does it. God has a way of achieving that conformity to Christ. And all who will be co-workers with God must know how does God do it. So that you may cooperate with God to accelerate his process. Because God may be working in one direction to achieve this goal, so that you may conform to Christ, or the people around you may conform to Christ, and you are working in another direction to block that goal. So God has a way of accomplishing that transformation into the image of Christ for every child of God. So those who want to cooperate with God, those who want to serve God, make disciples. They must know how does God, what weapon does God use in order to help enable his children to conform to the likeness of Christ. And in the making of disciples, we cooperate with God and do it God's way. Let us see how God does it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. So God has a simple way. He says, it was fitting that God should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. A very simple way. He wants to have a family where everybody resembles Jesus. That is his goal. That is his program. There must be a family resemblance. God wants a family where everybody resembles Jesus. A family where everybody resembles Jesus. And how does God do it? He makes them perfect through suffering. So God uses the weapon of suffering in order to make his children perfect, in order to make his children resemble Jesus, because the Bible is very, very clear. He made the author of our salvation perfect through suffering. So we will not run away from that. We will be perfected through suffering. God uses the weapon of the cross. God uses the weapon of suffering in order to transform us into the likeness of Christ. So it was necessary for that process that Jesus, it was necessary for us. It is necessary for us in bringing many sons to glory. In bringing many sons to glory, God had to make the author of our salvation perfect through suffering. So God has a simple way, and everybody who will serve God, the author to Hebrews repeats God's program. He wants to have a family where everybody resembles Jesus, and for everybody to resemble Jesus, there is the tool he uses, and that tool is a weapon of suffering. He uses the weapon of suffering. So God has a way of transformation. It is the way of the cross. God has a way of transforming his people. He has a way of transforming us. It's the way of the cross. The one who will help others must pass through his own that cross. If he is made perfect, and if he is sanctified, corrected by what he has suffered, you will pass through your own personal suffering. You will go through the cross, and if you don't run away, you will be perfected. And as you are perfected, you have been made perfect through suffering, then you qualify to help others to enter into the same type of experience that you have had. And the experience, what you go through may not be the same they will go through, but the goal will be one. The author of their salvation was made perfect through suffering. You will be perfected and transformed into his likeness through suffering. If you learn from what you have gone through, from the suffering you have gone through, you will equally be able to make to help others. But if you suffer and you miss the point, and you begin to grumble, you begin to complain, and you run away from it, you have learned nothing. You have rebelled against the suffering. You have wasted your suffering, and you cannot become like Jesus, and therefore you have not been corrected. You will not be able to correct others. You will not be able to correct others. So in transforming, in producing people who will help others to know conformity to little Jesus, God uses the weapon of suffering, but he will use the weapon of suffering, but you must come to this point where you say, all this will finally work to my own good. It will shape me into the light. They will shape me into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I'm being shaped, the transformation I know, I will equally help others to know the same transformation. I am transformed I become a disciple of Jesus. I help others to equally be transformed. I have started making disciples for Jesus. So you are free to be a disciple maker. God needs disciple makers. He needs those that he can use to help others to enter into the experience that they themselves may enter, have entered. You are made perfect through suffering. Not even the only begotten son was spared from this. He did not spare even the Lord Jesus. So to be asking, why am I suffering? Am I the one who killed Jesus? Are you not the... By just asking, why has God permitted all this? I'm going through all this. You should know it. If you know it, he has permitted because you must become like Jesus. So, discipleship is the way of the cross. We disciple people with the cross. We become people, we become disciples by going through the way of the cross and being transformed by the way of the cross. As we conform into the likeness of Christ, we can equally, by the way of the cross, help others. We disciple people with the cross, and the person who has not lived the cross, embraced the cross, and been transformed by the cross cannot be a disciple of the Lord. And he cannot make disciples for the Lord. He cannot help others because he has no experience. He cannot produce those sons that are glorious because the begotten son went through perfection that comes through suffering. We go through perfection that comes through suffering. All the adopted sons must go through the same road. That is God's program. Those who understand God's program understand that God is good. God loves them. God has arranged their life to go through what they have gone through to become like Christ in order that they may help others to equally go through what they may go through in to equally put on the nature of Christ. Such people can serve God with their lives. You can serve God with your life if you embrace the cross, leave the cross. You have understood it. You are not the one complaining in the face of every little suffering. You know God works it out for your own good. And here, your own good is talking about bringing you to that point where you can resemble the Lord. You conform to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So discipleship to Jesus is living a type of life that reveals the Father to people. Discipleship to Jesus, God uses the weapon of the cross in order that we may conform to Christ and actually have that type of life so that others can look at us and say, we are the Christ-like, we resemble Christ. We invite you to follow up the crusade. I will invite you, as we continue to review what is going on in the crusade, join us. May God bless you as you enter in this pathway of being a disciple of the Lord and making disciples for the Lord. God bless you.